Well, thank you, Clara. Didn't that say everything? I just love that. Everything is divine. Chief Seattle would have been proud of that song. Someone else who's a writer from around the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, it's one of my favorite, is Corinne Helene. And she wrote the book that I've mentioned before, Mystery of the Christos, that is how the journey of Jesus through the course of his life, through birth, through his teachings and his ministry, and through the crucifixion and the resurrection and the ascension, all shares how it ties in with the cycles of nature, with the cycles of our own lives. It's not only a master walking the path on this earth, it's a master saying, follow me, walk with me. Jesus never said, I'll walk ahead and you all come whenever. He was always saying, come, look at, see who you really are. You're a spark of the divine just like I am. And so this template that he created always included nature. The miracles included nature. The teachings included nature. He was always giving examples that reminded us that all things are connected. And by giving us examples in nature, it helped us put things in more perspective. Just looking at the seasons of summer, fall, winter, spring, think about how in your life those seasons have played out. Those are marked by the movement of the sun and the moon, the great lights in the sky. And then we also have not only that Indra's web of the turning of the seasons, we also have the celebrations that are us living and embodied here in the world and part of this web of life. And those are celebrated in all of the earth-based traditions, and they're usually called the cross-quarter days. So if you've got the equinoxes and the solstices, these are the days halfway in between each of those. And they're times of energy shift where it's the perfect time to do a ritual and to recognize the presence of the divine right where you are. Samhain is the one that we call Halloween, All Hallows Eve. It's about ancestors and spirits. Imbolc in February is about awakening. You're still in the belly of winter, but things are stirring. It's like the quickening of a baby in the mother's womb. Beltane is coming up next weekend. May the 1st is Beltane, also called May Day. And it's a day when they do the maypole with all the different colored ribbons and people dance. And that's about the bright light and the flowering that comes with spring. And then Lunasa is the harvest. It's the cross-quarter day celebration of bringing in the harvest. And it's the god known as Lu, who is light, but it's a different light than the one earlier. This is the light as it comes within and we light our hearths. And so you have these great cosmic celebrations, and then you've got the ones right down here on the earth where we get to celebrate. What does that presence look like and how do we encounter it? In Stargates, Corinne Helene's other book, she says this, man is a universe in miniature. Isn't that great? Man is a universe in miniature. All that lies about him and the heavens and upon the earth have their small reflection in his being. So the great wheel of the universe turns, and to the man on earth it breeds seed time and harvest, light and darkness, heat and cold. But viewed with the eye of spirit, each season as it comes and goes renders its own unique contribution to human unfoldment. And the gifts that it brings are spiritual as well as material. Interconnected. Matthew Fox, in his Creation Spirituality, said it in one of my favorite ways: we are the cosmos and the cosmos is us. That concept of a web of life of which we are a strand is found in all of the world traditions. In The Return of Merlin, magic, which I particularly like, Deepak Chopra says, every new event is like a new thread spun in the web of time, and these threads issue from you. There is nothing out there that you did not dream in here first. Reclaim your power. No one can dream forth a world of love and peace except for you. Just got goosebumps. In the Buddhist and Vedic tradition, you've got Indra's net or Indra's web that's the stars in the sky, and where the threads of life cross is where the stars shine. Those are the intersections of the web. In the earth-based, we have Grandmother Spider from the Puebla and Hopi and Navajo and Anasazi. Grandmother Spider weaves life into being. In the Celtic, particularly Welsh tradition, it's Arianhud with her silver wheel of stars that creates the world and karma. In the Greek, the triple goddess of fate, the Morai, who wove life and destiny together. In Islam, it is a spider that weaves a thread and a web that protects Muhammad when he prays. In the Hindu traditions and the Upanishads, the universe grows from that which is imperishable into manifestation, just as a spider pours forth the web from itself and then takes it back again to weave anew. The modern physicist David Bohm said, everything interpenetrates everything else. All is ultimately a seamless web. Julian of Norwich, who I've mentioned this month and is part of the workshop that I've been doing, was quite amazing. And she lived in a time of pandemic. And the thing that I took most away from that is that she says, when you're in a time of crisis, when you're going through one of those seasons, one of those unfoldings, the most important thing to do is to explore more deeply what your heart and soul truly desire and what your heart and soul are truly capable of. Because we can be more loving than we possibly ever could have imagined. And this earth tradition and loving and weaving together the earth, just like Jesus and all the great masters did, is something we're called to do. And we're blessed to be in a spiritual group that has followed the thread that I call the Church of Amor, the Church of Love, rather than the Church of Roma, the Church of Outer Doctrine and Theology. Because in this tradition, nature is seen as blessed and not something evil. The divine feminine is welcomed rather than reviled. It's about love and grace rather than sin and redemption. Major theological difference. It's seeing the divine in all of life now rather than saying, well, maybe you can have it if you're really good after you die. It's saying it is here and now. One of my favorite theologians said that in the traditional theology, you can only be saved while you're in your body on this planet. This is Origen. And he said, no. He said, that doesn't make any sense. If we're eternal spiritual beings, and if Jesus has created this place to welcome us, why in the world would it be impossible to be saved as your journey continues on the other side? And he said, I believe that the love of God lived through the man Jesus is there waiting to welcome us. Does that mean we shouldn't do everything we can while we're here for good? No. In fact, if anything, it calls us to be more present than ever before, because we have been gifted with being able to see the beauty of the divine right here and right now. And I think that's the bottom line for what all of life is about. We were in unity of consciousness with God, and then there was the, quote, fall. I think it was an invitation to come into conscious connection with God by choice, by action, by willingness, by soul growth. And so we are present. The angels say we have great courage for being in this dimension. We are called to behold the presence of the divine in everything. And then we will be consciously one with the divine, which is what the intention was all the way along. Jesus said it, I'm the light, you're the light. Let your light shine. I love the fact that the new Pope really honors the earth, and he's done some major declarations about the importance of caring for Mother Earth. He did a declaration about 3 years ago to honor the divine feminine by saying that Mary Magdalene was the apostle to the apostles. This is healing this separation. Origen, who said, you can talk to Jesus even after you'd leave the physical realm, got excommunicated for that. But doesn't it make sense? If God is love and we emerge through that portal we call birth, we live this life and then we go out through that portal we call death, our soul is present all along the way. So I thought about what could I recommend? How can I frame things so that I can stay connected to that core theology? As I go through all of the interesting challenges that life brings, where it takes a little while to unwrap the wrapping paper around the presence of God. Sometimes you have to pick up rocks, which is one of the great phrases from the Gospel of Thomas. Cleave a piece of wood and I am there. Turn a stone and turn a wing. Isn't that beautiful? Gospel of Thomas. And so I found four A's, A plus, how's that? As to how to be more present, more deeply in your world, and to do the soul work that Julian calls us to explore more deeply what your heart and soul desire and what they are capable of. The first one is to accept. And you know what? I'll type these up. We'll put them out on the email this week on Tuesday. So that'll help you remember them. I promise I'll do that. So accept where you are. As long as you're resistant to where you are, you're not present. And you can't notice the path that may be hard to see, but comes and meets you right where you are. For those of you who've done 12-step programs, accepting where you are is the beginning of the journey. Number two, affirm. Affirm the presence of God in everything. And with the work that I've done in my life as a special ed teacher, multi-handicapped children, as a nurse, as a chaplain, as a minister, there are times where you really have to look in the midst of horrific events or tragedy, but I promise you, the presence of God is always there. It may just be someone who puts a hand on the shoulder of someone who is grieving. That is the presence of God. People dedicating their lives to service, to help. That is the presence of God. So notice, Emmett Fox said, the golden key to all faith is quite simply remembering the presence of God. Number three, and this one is the one that I sometimes struggle with, adapt. Adapt. Be willing to let go of what was so you can begin to create what can yet be. Honor the path you've been on. Celebrate where you are right now and look forward with hope to that which is yet to come. Be willing to adapt. There was a show I saw that was on one of the 60 Minutes or something, and it was all these people who had made it to 100. And they said, how did you get this far? A lot of them said genetics. Most of them, however, the thing that it came down to more than anything else, it wasn't whether they drank or not, whether they exercised or not, all of those outer things that we hear about. Do you know what it was? It was the fact that they could adapt to change. And not only could they adapt to change, but they could find blessings and love even when life wasn't as free and as easy as it had been when they were younger. Being really present and adapting. And the pandemic has done, if nothing else, it has called us to adapt. In fact, a lot of us are coped out at this point. And we need to recognize that and be kind with one another for that. It's okay to be coped out. It means you've been coping for quite a while. But gift yourself some time, days off. The Easter time, Jesus goes into the tomb, and it's a 3-day process before he comes back out and says hi. If you're in the midst of something, gift yourself with 3 days. Go away, turn off your phone, whatever you need to do. And the first day, just settle in and rest. Sleep. Go for a walk. Take a bubble bath. Whatever soothes your soul. Rest so that you can adapt. The second day, begin to think about what's going on this journey of your soul, and journal a little bit. Don't set goals yet. Just journal and figure out where are you and accept it, and then where are you seeing God right now, even if it's just a tiny spark. And then on the third day, begin to decide, what do you want to do next? What's the next step? And then when you come out, don't go rushing back into life, because you're still settling in to adapting. Jesus even told Magdalene, don't touch me, I'm not quite done yet. And he came into the garden, a place of peace, surrounded by someone he loved. Don't go running back into your life full tilt. I used to do that when I'd come back from pilgrimage, and then I broke my leg in France, and I could not run and jump in with both feet. It was a great soul lesson. Give yourself time to come up with some new ways to adapt and to feel your way into them and experience them in meditation so that you can step out and manifest them. And then finally, the fourth A, appreciate. They say if you practice only one spiritual practice in your whole life, let it be gratitude. Wake up in the morning in gratitude for the day, and at the end of the day, be in gratitude for the day and the night to come. Then the next morning, I'm in gratitude for the night and the coming day. So appreciate, because when you appreciate, you strengthen your spiritual eyes to see those blessings, because you know they're there, and they show up with more clarity for those who are in a space of gratitude, because you've already created the field in which the seed is planted that will grow in right and perfect season. And it's true for all of us. Black Elk says this, "And I was seeing in a sacred manner the shapes of all things in spirit, and the shape of all things as they must live together like one being. And I saw that the sacred hoop of my people was one of many hoops, and they formed one great circle, wide as starlight and as daylight. And in the center grew a mighty flowering tree to shelter all of the children of the one mother and the one father. And I saw that it was holy. Accept, affirm, adapt, and appreciate. But where do you begin? The last quote has a little picture of Julian of Norwich on your inspiration card. Where do we begin? Begin with the heart. Always begin with the heart. And so let this Earth Sunday be a time where you rededicate and renew yourself to be present here in the earth, to see that presence and to be that presence, to honor it in yourself and to honor it in others. Because we truly do all sit beneath one great flowering tree that floats as this beautiful orb in the sky of the cosmos. And it is all holy. Let us pray. Oh, sweet, sweet spirit, abiding presence of the divine, in you we live, we move, and we have our being. Be present with us and inspire us in all the seasons of our lives, in all of the celebrations as we integrate those cycles into who we are and what we do. And may we remember always that we are the cosmos and the cosmos is in us. Each of you is a soul that made a choice to be present in this world, in this time. You are here doing holy work. Please know how much you are loved and appreciated and blessed for your willingness to be present here and now with peace and compassion, wisdom, love, and grace. And so it is. Om, amen, and blessed be.